with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the Movie Night Podcast. I'm Dwayne Perkins, joined always by my lovely co-host, TK Kelly. Each week we watch a movie, we bring in a special guest who has also watched that movie, and we discuss said movie.
That's very well explained. It would be super weird if we made somebody come in and be our guest and like they're not allowed to watch the movie.
Right.
But a
lot of guests think we watch it together. That's something that people go, well, I don't know if I could watch the movie with you guys. I'm like, no, we don't.
Well, I'm not going to ask anybody to commit to a social gathering.
Right.
I don't want to do things with people.
Exactly,
that sounds terrible.
Exactly.
But except for this people. He is good people.
There you go.
Very funny guest this week. He does clubs all over the country. You have seen him on Nick Mom, and he also just put together his own comedy festival called the Gundo Comedy Fest in El Segundo. Mr. Dave Williamson.
Yeah, peeps. You're my peeps. That's peeps. How they say it, yes. Right?
How's it going,
that's
man?
That's great, because El Segundo needed a comedy.
Man, if there's one thing you could say festival. About El Segundo, it's that it needed a comedy festival.
It really did. It really does.
Just been aching for it.
I never know when I'm in El Segundo, to be honest. Like, I kind of know. Like, I know the Whole Foods near Rosecrans, for instance.
Yeah.
That's El Segundo, I feel.
Exactly.
But then sometimes I'm like, is this Gardena? Like, where am I right now? Am I in Manhattan Beach? Like, what's going on? You know?
True El Segundo is everything basically from that Whole Food or that I think you're talking about the Vons or Ralph's, whatever it is, on
where
Sepulveda.
Where the Best Buy is, yeah, on Sepulveda. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah. So, everything between, like, there and the airport. And then between that line, Sepulveda, basically, and the beach is this little area that I don't think people really know exists, but it feels like you're in Michigan, like some small town or something. It just a little small town feel to it. So that was kind of cool about having the festival there was that it was basically throwing a festival in L.A., so it was easy for comics to come and do shows.
Yeah.
But it was not L.A. audiences. It was people that are like, comedy?
Actual people.
Oh,
it was real people with souls
like wives and kids.
And
yeah, it was, exactly. They're like, wait, I could do this like by my house without paying for a $70 parking ticket in Hollywood?
And that's the thing. Those people, even though they're relative, they are in L.A. for all intents and purposes. But
yeah.
You know, they're going to drive up Sepulveda, La Cienega.
LA is weird like that, where I feel like there are pockets of it or places that just border it, and it's like it's a different world.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's singularly that the people are real people that like have normal lives and aren't like completely fucking jaded about everything. LA is this weird, weird place that, like, you know, like you said, doing an LA comedy show with comics from here who can get there easily, but then in front of an audience that does, it doesn't feel like an LA show, which is a huge difference, I think.
Yeah, and there were so many cool little like venues that we utilized too. Like there's a brewery, El Segundo Brewing Company, and
the
Museum of Art, and there's a silent movie theater. So all these like little like small town like type feeling venues, you know. That we utilize and through comedy shows. And
that's,
so it was
great.
Cool, man. Yeah.
What made you do that? Just out of nowhere, you decided I'm going to put together a comedy. I'm going to fucking kill myself trying to put together a comedy fest.
Things were just going too good for myself. I come from a business background, so I have a little bit every now and then of that that need to, I guess, go into that world from time to time. You know, it's a very not a healthy feeling where you just want to punish yourself.
You just felt like writing reports.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I miss spreadsheets.
You know what I miss about comedy? I miss all the logistics.
Yeah.
I miss like just putting the shows together, finding the venues. So much fun.
Sponsorship.
You know all the bullshit
promotion,
I'm avoiding by being a comedian? Let's bring that back into my life.
Right. Exactly.
I've been to so many festivals as a performer and I love it. I always have a good time. So I guess there was a little bit of a desire to create that for comedians.
Yeah.
And then also just, I really like the community of El Segundo. So I wanted to create it for the community. And then, I networked a few years back and kind of just found myself as a coordinator for the South Beach Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a really good time the past 3 years working on the South Beach Comedy Festival down in Miami Beach.
Yeah.
But that's just such a big corporate behemoth. I wanted to do something very grassroots from the ground up where I can control a lot of it and make it something that's really fun for comics.
And
So, the only way to get the ball going is by just doing it. So we did it, and now we'll grow it and tweak it year in, year out, and hopefully it can become something that's really cool every single year for comics.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's
and you guys, I want to do more podcasting at it next year, so you guys should come do the podcast there next year.
Absolutely.
We would love that, yeah. Yeah, we have to pick the right movie, though. That makes sense.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in the silent movie theater there. Maybe we could hook something up there.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Should we do a silent movie?
Yeah, let's do The Artist. Boom. Done and done.
There All right. Is. Well, there we're booked.
Next year's festival has been planned.
Right. So you're definitely planning, even though I know, like, we were talking a little bit beforehand, it can be a festival. It's kind of a daunting thing for one person to take on, but you're committed to doing it. Like, you're going to make it a yearly thing.
Yeah. If I don't do it again, then I just lost money this year for no reason.
Yeah.
So, we built the foundation and it was a good response. And I definitely am excited to implement what I learned next year.
Yeah. It always surprises me when you'll see there's a ton of festivals around the country now, and you'll see them pop up and then just go away and never happen again. And that is, it's always surprising to me because that's not the type of thing that's going to work in 1 year.
No.
It takes, you have to become established. You have to keep doing it.
Comedy clubs are some of the biggest, offenders as far as that goes. And in any business, you have to have a plan in place. Most importantly, working capital. And you can't just open a place and think that it's going to be awesome and then people are going to come. I mean, to tie in movies, just because you spend a ton of money on a movie doesn't mean that it's going to take off. You got to get it in front of eyeballs for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes things fail and then they become cult classics later down the road, because finally, after a long time, enough people have seen it, where they get kind of second life. But any business, man, you need to take it on the chin. You can't just open a comedy club, for example, and book these big, high-priced comics for the first year and then wonder why you're losing money. And then by the time the audiences do start kind of trickling in, now they're out of money, and so now they're hiring second-rate, BS.
Right. When it could have just started with solid professionals.
Yeah, and grow it.
And grow it. And that's so many comedy clubs do that, where they actually will lose money on a big name.
Yeah.
If you just get a funny guy, you really can't lose money. Like if you pay him, you're not going to break the bank what you pay him, and the people are going to be satisfied, so they're going to come back. And that's just a lesson that they seem to have to learn over and over again.
Yeah.
There's very few things you can do where it's just like, hey, this is awesome, and people show up,
Yeah.
even guys who are a draw, they're not a draw just because they showed up. It's because they've been building that for years. They're their own business in sense,
Right,
so
right.
The marketing, the product, all that stuff being put in place, it takes time to grow anything, Very few places... there's this barbecue joint that opened up in Houston that I love. And that guy opened up and he had a line out the door day one. That rarely happens in restaurants, but it was because he was doing pop-up events for years.
Right,
he'd built a following.
Yeah, he had the buzz going. And it's weird who's guilty of that even more than comedy clubs, because a comedy club is a massive investment. I get that. But like these restaurants or these bars that just sort of like, have a show going on in the back,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a no-brainer for them, right? Because it's like, oh, there's no one ever there on a Wednesday, and let this guy come and do a comedy show on a Wednesday, and the second it's not packed, they're like, wait a minute, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, well, what was it like the Wednesday before I started?
Yeah, what else are you doing
there?
Right.
I don't know if you can tell that I've dealt with that before.
Yeah,
oh, right. My God. No, nothing is more infuriating than that shit. Like, what's the alternative? No one would be in here.
A really good bar show that like has longevity and has like big names that show up to it and whatever. One thing they always have in common is whoever manages or owns that bar was supportive of it for a long time
before
it really got rolling,
Absolutely.
And never,
they understand.
Never happened. You have to train the audience to show up.
Yeah. And they understand that like there's going to be fluctuations. There's going to be months or weeks, depending on how often you do it, that there's going to be a huge turnout, and there's going to be some that whether it be because some other big thing is going on at the same time or bad weather or whatever it might be, you might not be changing the level of talent you're booking, but the turnout might be completely different. And it needs more than anything, you need the person to be supportive. And with comedy, I think venues, including clubs, bars, whatever, they don't accept that it's not always going to break the bank.
Yep.
It's just not going to.
Yeah. And but it's like, if you don't lose money, then shut your trap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I just say, I like to think, look, Arya Starks is blind now because she wasn't patient. So that's all you just need to know is that.
dropping spoilers. I hope Dave watched.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm caught up.
Up yesterday, Dwayne. Oh, I would have slapped you.
I am so sorry. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, but is that going to be a permanent thing?
I hope not. Yeah. Well, I can't even watch Game of Thrones anymore. Let's just talk about that. It's a hopeless show. Oh, like, what are we doing? Even?
At the end of every season, it's just like, why don't you kill whoever I've grown most attached to?
Right.
And then somehow I'm going to still keep coming back to watch, even though I don't give a shit about any of the characters that are left.
Man, I think that there's a delicate balance there. Like, I really like the shows. I mean, it probably started with Lost? Shows that will not hesitate to kill off main characters, but you have to have one or two that you can count on. And Jon Snow, spoiler alert, was the key word.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
It's all like it started out with, I would say probably 5 to 7 characters that you could really kind of like get on board with. And now it's down to like 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
that's brutal.
And not only is he that guy, I haven't read the books, but he was completely right. And so at what point does everyone say,
they very much keep killing people who are good. People who are right in spite of themselves. They do the right thing even though they shouldn't, and they fucking die for it.
Yeah, this is
guys,
like,
we're just going to talk about Game of Thrones. Yeah. I'm just fucking mad.
Well, it's like the White Walkers. Like, he was right. He was absolutely right. Like, I don't know. But here's the thing. I'm sorry, what are you going to say, Dave?
No, I was just going to say, like, Jon Snow was that guy. Like, I got past Ned Stark dying, you know? It's like...
I just got over that, to be honest. That was, like, season one.
Yeah, yeah.
If Daryl or Rick die on Walking Dead, I'm done. Like, they can kill anyone they want, but I think those two guys.
See, I think they wised up. I know, I'm pretty sure Daryl doesn't live in the books, and they're like, people fucking love this dude. We got to keep him around. He's got a sweet crossbow.
But here's the thing. We're talking about things that have some heart, but really break your heart at the end of the day. And every now and then you have to shift gears and you need something where no one gets hurt and it's completely happy.
Watch something nice and easy.
That movie is Chef.
It is. That is our movie this week.
What a segue.
From 2014, Chef, directed by Jon Favreau, starring Jon Favreau, John Leguizamo, Bobby Cannavale, Sofia Vergara, Dustin Hoffman, just a shitload of people.
Really, Robert Downey Jr.
He pulled everybody in on this one.
Yeah.
So what'd you guys think overall? How do you feel about this movie?
Yeah, I thought that was a good intro to it. It's a light, bubbly, fun movie.
Yeah.
It's safe.
It's the safest movie you're ever going to watch. This movie is a milkshake.
Yeah.
You're never going to be like, that was terrible.
I say it's like, I like to sort of stock my shows with a fair amount of this. That's why I watch Burn Notice. And this is like watching Burn Notice where no one's ever in any real threat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I actually saw it the first time. I was more critical, but I liked it. I liked it more this time. But yeah, it's like, is there an act three or?
It was weirdly structured.
Because you know, like there's the fun and games part of a movie. Mm-hmm. And that's usually like the second half of act two where like things are kind of like you think, okay, this is going great. And then something usually happens to remind you, oh, they still have something they have to do.
Brought back down to earth. Yeah.
Yeah. This movie didn't have that. It was like, once they got the truck, it was just goodness. It was great.
Yeah. It was just happiness. I loved it.
If anything, it was like things were good, but then they were even better.
They just kept getting better.
Because they got the bonus of like the kid doing the Twitter stuff. It's like, not only is this...
You're right. I think as soon as they get the truck, it's just a constant build. Even in the end, when Jon Favreau gets back together with Sofia Vergara, who was his ex-wife.
How do you ever let her go to begin with?
It didn't need that. Like, this movie wasn't about them at all.
It wasn't about them at all.
It was about him and his son.
Yeah.
But it was like, he was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just go all the way with this. Let's make everything go right.
And here's the thing. I saw this movie already, right? But even watching it again, everything was going so well that I'm like, when they were driving, I'm like, okay, they're going to get into a car accident.
Yeah.
Okay. John Leguizamo was going to touch the kid. Like, I didn't know what. I was just like,
yeah. Something bad's
going to happen. Been unexpected.
I'm from Miami. I found it hard to believe that you don't just buy an old truck from some back lot in Hialeah and drive it cross country without some shit going wrong. Yeah. All right.
You definitely expect. I feel like there had to have been chunks of this movie that just didn't make it into the final cut. They had to have faced more adversity, because the only part where they started to come back down was when Jon Favreau explains to his kid that, like, listen, when we get back to LA, you know, it's not going to keep being like this. I'm going to be really busy again.
Right,
basically
right.
tells the kid, I'm going to be
go back
to being kind of an absentee dad.
Right.
And then he just doesn't do that.
Which
is great. It's the right thing. He did the right thing. But it was like, yeah, there was never that come down moment.
And you get Russell Peters scene, which is really funny.
That was great.
Really funny. And then you think, oh, okay, the cops are going to shut him down. And then he doesn't. He just takes a few pictures.
Yeah, takes a bunch of pictures.
Like, hey, you know, you guys are good. Just go up the block. Just one block up there.
Once again, too, yeah, you don't just get a food truck and then not have to sit. Miami-Dade, especially.
Right.
That's where they were registering all that shit. You are not going to get a permit to operate a rolling restaurant and be like, let's open this weekend. Like, yeah. It's just not going to happen.
Just got to buy the truck and paint it. That's how it works.
Well, like, the thing is, this movie's a rare, like, the writing is not bad, the acting is really solid, the way it's shot, if you like the graphics with the Twitter and all of that,
yeah,
just the story, there's just nothing.
It's not, there's not much there.
There's nothing there.
But it's, you know what, it's kind of, I like it though, in that it was fresh in its refusal to stick to all those, like, the exact movie structure. It was just more like, let's start with this guy whose life is not what it should be, but he's doing fine. And then he goes down the shitter, and he's not down there for very long, and he goes back to what he should have been doing the whole time, and everything gets better. Well, and it's more just like a lesson of, like, don't leave yourself behind. Just do your thing.
Yeah. And the problem, as I watch it, I'm like, wait, why is he arguing with this critic who he kind of agrees with? Like, his only problem is his boss. That's the only problem that he really had, because
Dustin Hoffman.
He wanted to do a different menu. And then when the boss, when cops are really dumb, when anyone's too dumb in a movie, because Dustin Hoffman's like, you're sticking to the original menu.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, wait, the same menu that got panned in the reviews?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it didn't make any sense at all.
And I responded.
But he was like, people are here. People are here in the restaurant. Right, that's all that matters.
But he responded to the tweet saying, I'm going to cook a different menu. Yeah. And everyone came.
That
and
was
Dustin Hoffman said, no, do the same menu, even though people are here to eat a different menu. Like, and that kind of hurts my brain when I
get something. It was very frustrating to watch that part of the movie, to try to get through. Like, what are you saying? This doesn't make any fucking sense. Right. But at the same time, it kind of made me remember, like, I think people have bosses like that or people like that in their life where it's like, how do you not understand that what you're saying makes no sense and you're going to hurt us in the end, but you can't get through to them? And that was like Jon Favreau's moment of like, I need to just fucking be on my own.
Could we bring this back to comedy club analogies? Because
exactly. The amount of times you want to look somebody in the face and be like, you're doing it wrong, and everyone can see it.
But here's the thing. If Chef was Game of Thrones or was written by, what's his name, George R.R. Martin, is that his name? Then Jon Favreau's character would have died. The son would have been the son would have been an orphan, and Dustin Hoffman, who was a complete idiot, would have became king.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And John Leguizamo would have lost his left hand.
Yeah. Right. Right. But like, my favorite character though is Sofia Vergara. Is that how I'm saying her name?
Mm-hmm.
Because I really, really love the character, and obviously her being hot, you know, it helps. But the situation is this. In life, I've met so many people who are manipulative. And they think they would argue that they're doing you a favor, but they aren't. They just want what they want.
Yeah.
But here's a character, the way she's drawn, who's truly manipulative but selfless. She's she's a selfless manipulator, which is, you don't get that. Because she sort of like makes this guy get a food truck and makes him hang out with his son.
Yeah.
And he
does everything she says, and eventually
she
gets married to him again.
She tricks him, but she's right. But I just like, I love that, you know, she kind of saw what was best for him and then put him on a path to do what was best.
Yeah.
And, but did it in a way that, you know, she didn't have to do any of that. I guess she did it for her son, I guess. But
I had a hard time following the timeline that when they were setting it up a little bit about like them getting split and then her remarrying, but now she's single,
no,
and
was,
now the husband lives in Miami.
Yeah.
And she lives. I was like,
It was very, very oddly set up. Like, the way I think you're trained in your mind when you meet a character who has an ex-wife and he even mentions her other husband, you always assume that other husband came after him.
Yeah.
But she was married to Robert Downey Jr. before him.
I guess. Yeah.
And that was, you didn't really know that until like three quarters of the way through. And you're like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
Well, I didn't even know it until I think Robert Downey Jr., who steals that scene that he's in completely.
Yeah, he's great.
He's so great
in everything, man.
But when he's like, he was sort of like, he was fucking with him. He's like, well, you were with her, then I may have been with her, but whatever. Yeah, I may have been with her after. Who knows? Who knows? He's like, wait, what happened? No, you know, who knows? Maybe I slept with her. Maybe I slept with her last. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That whole scene was hilarious. And I don't know. I really like this movie. This is like my Aunt Eleanor, who doesn't listen to the podcast, I don't think, but this would be a great movie for her.
Typical Aunt Eleanor.
Because she just loves movies that like, just happiness happens.
Yeah.
And if she saw this movie, I'm going to go on record and say she would clap at various moments. Because she's a clapper. Like
when
everything good happens, she claps in the theater.
Oh.
So, like when they clean the truck and that whole scene, she would just
They did it. This movie is it's the pop music of movies.
It's fluffy,
It's Britney Spears.
I think you
can't not like it.
Yeah,
and you kind of there's some artisticness to it.
Well, the characters are fun. The acting is it's well done. So it's like you can get over that. Yeah, there's not as far as the plot. There's not much.
This movie
it starts at a low point, ends at a high point, and it just goes straight. There's no lulls.
There's
no
nothing.
Waves. But that's okay. It was fucking fun.
It was fun. And the food looks good.
The food aspect was great.
It's like this movie is season one of Entourage. It's just, listen.
Yes. This movie's very Entourage, where
I'm just
start
a
from
rich
the bottom,
dude.
Get to the top, really face much
nothing
adversity.
Happens. I get laid every episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I divorce Sofia Vergara, and then I start having sex with Scarlett Johansson, even though I'm an overweight older chef whose life is pretty much falling apart.
Right.
But, you know, things are okay. Let's get into the games.
Let's do it.
Finish this up with these questions we do every week that relate to the movie in particular. So first one, right off the bat, if you were a chef, you get your own restaurant or your food truck or whatever. You know, what's your style? He made Cuban sandwiches. That was his thing. What's your thing, Dwayne?
You know, I went with the only thing that I kind of cook on a regular basis, and that means like once a year or every 2 years, salmon cakes.
Are you only going to open your restaurant once every 2 years?
Wait, that's got to be a food truck. Just Dwayne's salmon cakes.
They only show up once every 2 years, and they don't tell you where they're going to be.
Just salmon cakes and root beer. That's it.
But I figure I would take the salmon cake and put it in like sandwich. There'd be different. You know what I mean? Different things.
Now you're Bubba Gump. Just salmon.
Different salmon variations.
Cocktail. Yeah.
How about you, Dave? What's your hook?
Oh, man. I have so many answers for this. I'm just such a food guy, right?
I love food.
But I really like simple things. Like, I love a good sub shop.
You know? Sandwiches.
Sandwiches
are the best food.
But most people like delis where they get all this. I just want a sub shop where I can get like a chicken bomb, you know?
Right.
And then the little details in that are what make it. Like, I hate small sandwiches. It's got to be a big sandwich, first of all, you know?
Yeah.
What does it cost you? An extra 20 cents to make the sandwich, like, twice as big with the lunch meat?
And plus, then, when it's bigger, it doesn't have to be as good.
Yeah,
that's true.
Very true.
Like, well, you got a lot for your money. Wait, get out of here.
My biggest pet peeve is if you get a hot sub somewhere, and then they take the bun, and they open the bun this way, and then they put, like, a taco shell.
Yeah.
And then they put the meat and like the lettuce and the tomato and the toppings. Because now, in order to eat it, you got to turn it this way.
Yeah.
And you're not getting equal amounts of vegetables.
This is a true sandwich man.
And meat. Like, you know, and it falls
out. I'm with you 100%.
Absolutely right.
You got to take the sandwich, put it this way, put the stuff on there, and then you can just cram it in with a big knife or something if you got to do that to close it. But I hate the taco sub style. Drives me crazy.
I agree. Like you're saying, don't separate the bread, in essence. Right, like it's a hinge. Keep that hinge on the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember back in the day, Subway? And now, for a while, there were Subway workers who remembered. But now, you know, it's not like you work at a Subway that long. So there's complete turnover. No one remembers the old Subway way, where they used to cut a wedge in the middle of the bread.
Yep, I remember that.
Lift it up.
They had like a little scalpel they would use.
Yeah, they would. It's like a scalpel, like almost doing surgery on the bread. They'd lift out a chunk of the bread, put everything in, replace the divot.
Yeah.
Bam.
Replace there the divot.
Sandwich surgeons lost is better art. Than sandwich artists, right, isn't right. it?
Yeah, that's true.
So, but wait, I have more for this answer, and I'll have to get all of this off my chest. It's very important to me. But so a good sub or a good chicken wing are two things that I love.
Yes.
I love to find somewhere.
Easy things, but so many places fuck them up.
Exactly. But if I were to open my own place, it would have to be either one, a barbecue joint, because I just love barbecue, and when it's done right, you can really separate yourself. For example, actually, this movie, they stop at Franklin's in Austin.
Right.
A very famous barbecue joint, and I've eaten at most of the places in Austin, Texas, and the barbecue there is insane. But my new favorite barbecue joint is in Houston, Texas, and it's called Killen's. And the reason why I love it so much, it's a place I referenced a little while ago, is because not only is the meat up to par with all those places in Austin or anywhere you could eat, you know, once you talk about those top tier places, the difference between one to the next is very minuscule. They're all amazing, mm-hmm. as far as the meat goes. But this place, Killen's, has sides that equal the meat. Because they have mashed potatoes.
I can get behind that. That's great.
And potato salad.
They don't
and
phone
bread
it in.
Pudding and banana pudding and real southern sweet tea that just like, I spent $60 last time I was in Houston doing shows. I went there by myself, spent $60 on lunch.
That's a meal.
Yeah.
On lunch too.
It's
That's
insane.
Great.
Yeah. I just brought it back to the hotel and heated it up. It was like Homer and the blue sandwich. I just ate it for like 3 days, just kept heating it up. But I've always been fascinated with, at hotels, the omelet chef.
Omelets?
Oh, yeah.
That's
that
a
guy.
Tough gig.
I've always been like...
It's just, always made to order.
He's
always like, what do you want? Mushrooms?
And,
what do you want?
And it's always like such a big hit. I'm like, why doesn't a restaurant open like a Subway? Why isn't there like a Subway?
Just an omelet
but for
place
omelets?
In the morning?
Yeah.
Omelets are hard to eat on the way to work.
Plus, it's a time
car
thing.
Car omelets.
It's not in and out. And can you do a drive through? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you put it in like a cone or something, and they can eat it.
I'm sure Taco Bell is like moments away from coming out with a handheld omelet.
An omelet cone. An omelet cone.
I'm sure they are. Speaking of Taco Bell, I think I would just, purely for money reasons, I would just open a stoner buffet that just has like all just insane ingredients. Just the staple, you know, just some bread, because you can put some stuff between two slices of bread. But then like potato chips, Captain Crunch, bananas, Nerds, sprinkles. Hot
nice.
Fudge, gravy. Just see what people make and then have them pay by weight.
I don't know if I'd call that a stoner place as much as like kids 10 and under. Like kids
same
10
thing,
and under.
Same thing. Right? It's just like, oh, I can put all this stuff on one thing? I'll fucking give it a shot. I'll see what happens.
Didn't Jack in the Box just recently come out with something that was like the late night munchie box
Jack
or something?
Oh, yeah. Jack in the Box knows what they are.
Yeah.
They are
it's
well
It's basically
aware.
Just like, whatever we have left, we're going to throw in this box so it'll barely
Here's
close and give it to you.
A trash can. Yeah. Leave with it. Let's do a drinking game. So every time something happens over and over in this movie, or every time you think something... For me, I would actually say you have to take a shot anytime you pause the movie to get up and make or order food.
Nice.
Because this movie is hard to watch hungry. I was eating a late dinner the night I was watching it, and I'm like, oh my God, fucking kill me. This looks amazing.
When he made that grilled cheese for his son at the beginning of the movie, I'm just like, oh,
it's like 27
cheese, grilled cheese.
27
go
types of cheese
right
on
now.
Oh, yeah, it looks amazing.
So much cheese in that thing.
Oh, yeah. It's no wonder his character was...
Chubby.
Yeah, he had put on some pounds, but man, that did look good.
Yeah, it looks great.
What do you think, Dave?
I have two for this. I have you have to do a shot every time there's a cameo by an actor that is doing Jon Favreau a solid by agreeing to do this movie.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Which is all
that's,
of them.
That's, yeah.
There's
every
a lot
person,
of very famous people playing very small parts in this
Which
movie.
Is the way to do an independent film.
Yeah.
I mean, Favreau did this independently. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it really is overall a great blueprint on how to do... I mean, granted, Favreau's got a lot of pull in the industry, but it really is... I think a good result.
Guys, if you're going to make an indie, just, you know, ask Dustin Hoffman to be in it.
Call your boy Dustin.
Yeah, call Robert Downey Jr.
But I also thought every time Jon Favreau has an otherwise unnecessary line of dialogue about how much weight he has gained in order to explain how he could have ever married Sofia Vergara shot.
That's what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. They had to explain, like, I didn't used to look like this.
They did it. It was like, it didn't matter to the... to the plot at all.
No.
But there was three or four different parts where they were like, oh, you've really gained weight.
Right.
Like,
you know. But all you need, and all you need her is to one time say, I like them big.
Yeah.
And then boom, we're
exactly.
done.
Exactly. I like them chubby.
How about you, Dwayne? What's your name?
Along the same lines, every time, I had two different options. One, every time you say to yourself, what happened to Favreau? Like, what happened? You know, like, when you, because you know he got big, but some, like in this movie, I just was like, man.
Now, did he do that on his own and then he was like, fuck it, I'm going to be a fat guy in my next movie? Or was it like, I'm going to be a fat guy in my next movie so I can do the research?
No, I think he's been big. I think the fat happened first.
Because remember how skinny he was in Swingers?
And oh, well, I mean, that's a long thing. He also aged. But look at Robert Downey Jr. Not everybody's Robert Downey Jr. All I'm saying is, Jon Favreau, if you want to say that you only put on weight over the course of 20 years for this movie, I'll believe you.
Yeah.
I'll buy it too. And also, every time there's a montage, I mean, they're food montages, so you're okay with it.
Yeah.
But there's so many montages.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I mean, this is like 80s montage. Like, there's just so many montages.
It's usually
cooking, but it's just, even like tweets and them driving, it's a lot of like, we're here. Just move the story along. It's like a lot of moving along. So every time there's a montage, because also people are going to argue about what's a montage, because like, you know, is he making one dish is a montage or one meal? So I like the thought
you
of those conversations.
You just want to argue with people about montages.
Yeah.
Let's finish up on this one. We got time to squeeze one more in. Pitch the sequel. So this movie ends on a super happy note. Like we said, it just goes high and never comes down. So what do you think for the sequel? Do you want to keep it on that kind of level? Do you want to bring it down, make it real sad? What do you think, Dwayne?
This is tough because it ends so happy. But I think he has his restaurant. He's married to Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say maybe... was it who was in it? Was it Scarlett Johansson? Who's
at the beginning? The beginning,
yeah. So I think she opens up a restaurant across the street, and obviously it's a little weird because he has a history with her, and basically that restaurant is going to run them out of business, and we don't know. So the question of the movie would be: Is his restaurant going to survive?
Yeah.
And is he going to bang the Scarlett Johansson character?
Is he going to bang? Which I believe it was never. Did they ever say in this movie whether he was sleeping? It was like kind of implied.
She thought
right?
it though. The ex-wife thought it. So
okay.
Yeah,
I feel like he was. I actually kind of stuck with that on the just the idea that Favreau cast Sofia Vergara as his ex and Scarlett Johansson as his new thing. So in my sequel, he and his second time wife Sofia Vergara, they go on their honeymoon and they actually run into Scarlett Johansson, who is there having a reunion with her sorority sisters, who are played by Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Beckinsale, Emily Ratajkowski, and he makes them dinner and then they all have an orgy because this guy's life is just working out.
Right.
It's just he's doing okay.
So wait, is it a porno or like?
Who's to say?
How much of the movie is the orgy? Like,
I would say 90%.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I'm seeing a trend in Favreau's casting tendencies here. So,
yeah, and John Leguizamo shows up with more cousins.
Right. What do you think, Dave? Why don't you close this out?
All right, so I went more of a dark comedy aspect with it, and just when their new venture like seems bulletproof and everything's going happy and go lucky again, a meat shortage strikes the United States.
Oh, I love it.
So it's tired of arguing.
Everyone.
Yeah, just like Jon Favreau was arguing with Dustin Hoffman, he starts arguing with Oliver Platt this time.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to go through this again. And he ends up killing Oliver Platt and serving his torso to customers.
He is bulky. He could feed it.
Oh, wow.
But then here's the twist. Here's the happy ending is that his son periscoped the whole thing, and cannibalism becomes a new trend in the United States.
It's the new chic cannibalism.
Everyone in LA is eating people.
That's a great note to end it on. Dave, thanks so much for doing the show.
Yeah,
man,
it's fun, dude. Anytime you guys want to give me an excuse to watch a movie, I'm on board.
Yeah, cool. Anything you want to promote, tell the people where to find you, Twitter, all that stuff.
Sure, man. Twitter is at Dave W Comedy, and I got a bunch of road gigs coming up in July and August. I will be in St. Charles, just outside of Chicago. I will be in Indianapolis, I believe. I'm going to be in Miami, a couple other cities, Vancouver, Canada. So you can see the whole schedule on DaveWilliamsonComedy.com.
Cool. Check them out, guys.
And I'm DwaynePerkins.com. July 3rd, I'm at the San Diego Fair. Holla at your boy. I'm performing there. I'm not just hanging out.
I'm just going to the fair. Come hang, guys.
And then I got my Midwest run, Wiley's in Dayton, Ohio. Second week of July. Third week of July, Zany's Comedy Club in Chicago. And then fourth week of July, Lexington Comedy off Broadway in Lexington, Kentucky. Fifth week of July, because it's 5 weeks in July, I'm at the Laughing Derby in Louisville. So.
Just keep going. Sixth week in July. Right. I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter, and look for me on the East Coast with the Threeses Tour. All through July, we're going from Florida up to New York, and then I'm sticking in New York for about a week doing some extra shows. So look for that. And, dude, thanks again for being here, Dave.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next week.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.